Hello, faithful wanderers. Our destination today is Belgium. And in the spirit of exploration, we will be unveiling treasures that lie in Brussels and beyond as we explore the magnificent country that is Belgium. As we continue our alphabetical exploration of the world, we find ourselves on the doorstep of yet another country rich with wonders, Belgium. I've taken the time to delve into this enchanting destination from a Christian perspective, ensuring that you, my cherished audience, are well prepared to embark on a journey confidently focused on Christ. Well, Christian travelers, as you know, one of the ways that I like to kick off every episode is turning it to the Lord, turning to Scripture. And some of the things that initially come to mind about Belgium is Belgian waffles, beer, chocolate, fries, art, and architecture. So the verse that comes to mind is actually 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This Bible verse is in context from Apostle Paul, who's answering the debate about what is holy and acceptable to eat. There was a division between the Jews and the Gentiles as they progressed from Jewish tradition into what Christ has come to redeem the sacrifices and to redeem us, and so that we don't have to abide by all of the Old Testament laws in the same way. Some of them have been fulfilled. And he was challenging them that so long as it's for the glory of God, so long as it isn't to cause harm to your brother and sister in Christ or to cause someone else to doubt or not turn to the Lord, it was acceptable. It wasn't against God's will, per se. And as a Christian, how we travel, how we indulge in these many wonderful things in Belgium is an opportunity to testify to the Lord. And that isn't to say we can't enjoy the many wonders there, but we can use them as conversations, we can use them as a way to shine Christ's light. And so with that, I want to pose this question as we dive into the episode for you to reflect on. Belgium is full of these wonderful wonders, food and architecture. It has modern cities and historical architecture, things present and historic. How should the Christian balance? How as Christians can we appreciate both past and future in our travels and in our walk with the Lord? How can we turn to the Lord and rely on some of his the Old Testament and what it teaches us about his love and his truth through the law and gospel that is there, and as well as how can we see it in the New Testament today? So what can Belgium teach us, and how will you live that out? So if you don't know where Belgium is, it is located in Western Europe. It's bordered by France and Germany, and it is about the size of the state of Maryland. It has fertile plains, forests, hills, and coastline, which characterize its diverse landscape. The language that the people speak there is a mix of three predominant languages: Dutch, French, and German. Belgium's religious history and makeup has largely been impacted by Martin Luther's Reformation in the 16th century, and towards the end of this episode, we're going to dive a little bit more into that. But right now, what you need to know is its current religious makeup. 57.1% of the population is Roman Catholic, 20.2% are agnostic, 9.1% atheist, 6.8% of Belgium are Muslim, and the rest is a mix of some other faiths. So, as a traveler, you have the opportunity to share how the Lord brought you to Belgium or wherever he is taking you, and you have the opportunity to reflect him in just your general conversation. So I want to prep you and encourage you in the event that you get to speak with that 20.2% of the population that is agnostic. In our previous episode, we broke down what the difference was between agnostic and atheist. Agnostic being someone who believes that there is no evidence that there is, or evidence or proof of God, whereas an atheist just outright believes there is no God. Agnostic is more comfortable with that uncertainty. And so then I dive deeper in that episode and talked more about how both agnostics and atheists can fall into one of two camps, passive non-believers or aggressive non-believers, and what that means, because there's many different ways that that can show itself. Well, today I want to take a little bit different approach. Again, this is coming from this book that I really like. It's called The Christian Difference. And they do a phenomenal job of explaining what it means to believe things that I didn't grow up believing. I've been a Christian my whole life, and how we can witness to them and also better understand where they're coming from. As I was studying that, much of what it was talked about was a mix of both agnostics and atheists. And because 20.2% of Belgium is agnostic, and then the next largest group at almost 10% is atheist, I'm going to group them all together and kind of just address some of the things that become some hurdles or some ways of looking at the world for the both groups. So many of agnostics and atheists believe that science is the basis of reality, and it is what they consider the proof of their unbelief. Thereby, they assume that religious systems are at odds with scientific thinking, which is crazy because some of the first scientists that made some of the larger discoveries were actually Christians. In some of our future episodes, we're going to go a little deeper into how unbelief really came into the world, but I'm just focusing on different points, I guess, with each episode. So, agnostics and atheists think that it's proof for unbelief, that science and religion are at odds. And therefore, this often leads to them believing in Darwinism evolution. Now, Darwinism evolution is called macroevolution. That is when one species changes from another. That's how we go from atoms to fish to creatures that walk on land to humans. Like, it all happens. But the problem from this is that we can't observe that because it happens over a long period of time. The other type of evolution is microevolution. This is evolution that happens within a species. And a species would be like dogs, and all the breeds of dogs is a species. Cats and all the breeds of cats is a species. But as a result, if you're looking at dogs, you can have a German Shepherd and a poodle and end up with a different type of dog. And I don't know enough about cat breeds to really talk about that, but so microevolution is something that we can observe, and as Christians, it's something that we do believe. Because God talks about that he made in creation each of the species, but that's different than saying that we came from an atom and we all evolved and it's all interconnected. Another thing that agnostics and atheists believe is they are very rational, or they believe in rationalism, often holding faith to be something that is irrational. The faith, trust, But as Christians, we know that it is rational. It just is trusting something. Whereas they're trusting science, we're trusting God. And then they often view human authority and morals in a way very different than Christians do. So that's just some of the areas where they base their belief, but that doesn't mean that the conversation is impossible. In fact, I want to remind you, as I've mentioned in last week's episode, that if we go into a conversation with someone who's agnostic or atheist, and we're instantly defensive, angry, we are instantly putting a border up. And I'm not saying that they won't verbally attack, that they won't tear down your belief, but we have to recognize that they are in a spiritual warfare that they don't even know that they're walking in. And so us being mad at God's creation, at the person that you're talking to, doesn't open up the conversation for witnessing about the Lord. So we need to be angry at Satan for what he's doing and attacking in that person's life. And we need to recognize that God is capable of incredible things and could potentially bring them to faith. Within that, as I said, they often think that we don't, as Christians, think freely. And so we need to point out that we live in a sinful world that's corrupt. It has fatal thought and reasoning. And in showing them the law and the need that we have for it in a chaotic world so that we don't all murder each other or absolutely destroy everything and steal everything. We need law and order. We need those things, and God made them. He gave us a good intent. So we can talk about that, just like we have rules for kids, not to touch the oven. We do that to protect them. And God isn't trying to prevent us from having joy in life. He's trying to protect us. And so we need to avoid chaos in our world. We need law. And we all fall short of fulfilling that law. We all break it. We're all sinful. And that's why we need a savior, not just to force us to live in shame for our faults and our brokenness, but to restore us to that perfection, a world that is perfect and full of that joy, and will ultimately lead us to eternity in that perfection. So I hope that helps you in the case that you get to actually converse with some people in Belgium. But now let's go and take a little closer look at some of the amazing sites in Belgium. I have four wonderful places for you. The first one is the historic center of Bruges. Bruges is known for its picturesque canals, its well-preserved medieval architecture, and charming cobblestone streets. It is a historic center in UNESCO World Heritage Site and offers a glimpse into Belgium's rich history. If you're wanting romantic ambiance, a canal boat tour, Belgian chocolate, or just a fairy tale setting, this is a place worth adding to your list. Next up is the Royal Palace of Brussels. It is the official residence of the Belgian monarch. And while you can't enter the palace itself, you can explore its stunning gardens and neoclassical building. And the gardens are incredibly impressive. It's a great opportunity to get to know a little bit more about the Belgian monarchy. Antwerp Central is one of the most beautiful train stations in the world. It's a masterpiece of architecture and engineering with glass domes, intricate details throughout. And if you are a Harry Potter fan, I don't know, its architecture just screams of some of those wizardy, fun architecture. So I don't know, I would go take a picture there for sure. And then I apologize if I pronounce this poorly. Paradisa is a world-renowned zoo and botanical garden located in Belgium. It is home to over 7,000 animals from around the world, as well as beautiful gardens and cultural exhibits. Visitors can spend the day exploring the park and learning about the animals and the plants that call it home. Are you a Christian traveler seeking a deeper connection with believers on your adventures? Do your travel plans sometimes leave you feeling disconnected and distant from your faith? Introducing Christian Travelers Network, the ultimate platform for travelers who want to celebrate God moments in their explorations. Imagine a world where you unite with fellow believers worldwide, uncover enriching travel adventures, find English-speaking worship services, and access an array of Christian travel resources. Don't let your travel plans leave you feeling disconnected. Join our community today and explore the world with Christ at the center of every adventure. Visit christiantravelers.net to join this incredible community. As you are exploring these destinations, you're going to have the opportunity to talk with locals, whether they are believers or not. It's always good to know a little bit about what is culturally appropriate when going into another country. So here are some things about their cultural nuances. Belgians are generally polite and very well-mannered. They greet others with handshakes and usually use titles and surnames, Mr., Mrs., and their last name. Punctuality is appreciated, so be on time to appointments. Tipping is customary, usually around 10% in restaurants, and it's common to give small gifts or flowers if you visit someone's home. Language can be a sensitive issue, largely from their history, so it's best to ask what language someone prefers to speak in before assuming conversation. And then I want to take a moment to encourage you to understand a little bit more about some of the biblical or Christian significance of Belgium, and that is to go to the Museum of Reformation in Brussels. So during the 16th century, Belgium, with Antwerp as its focal point, experienced profound influence of Martin Luther's Reformation. While he didn't intend for it to end in war, it caused a lot of division. And there were different religious groups that came up, Calvinists, Anabaptists. This era witnessed a time period where people would destroy religious symbolism. And it was a sign of that tension within these different denominations at the time. And while after 80 years of war, it eventually led to the Treaty of Westphalia in 1648, that treaty recognized the independence of the Dutch Republic. But Belgium itself remained under Spanish Habsburgs rule, which was predominantly Catholic, which this whole Reformation was about breaking away from some of the things that the Roman Catholic Church was doing. So it made not only a divergence in religion, but also in some of the political trajectories. So some of that is still being witnessed today. As I said, there are three different languages being spoken in this country, and it is only the size of, what did I say? Sorry, I have to go back through my notes. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's the size of Maryland, so the state of Maryland. So it's not large by any means, but it's not the smallest country we've talked about either. So, but it's experienced some intense things. So I encourage you to check out this museum solely so that, as you consider your faith walk with the Lord, you get to know more about the ways that the Christian kingdom has grown and changed around the world. And this seems to be a very pivotal point in the Christian faith walk. Martin Luther made a huge impact, so I think this would be incredibly interesting. Not only that, I encourage you to attend a worship service, even though it's likely not spoken in your native tongue, getting to worship with people from around the world just shows how universal God's love is, and that it isn't limited to one language is one of the many wonders and joys of getting to be a part of the Christian community and live out your faith walk. And as I started this episode, I also want to end this episode with a reflection question so that if you're traveling to Belgium or are considering doing that in the future, I want to challenge you to ask, how might the experience of Christian fellowship look different within a Belgian church versus your home church? Are they, what does that look like? Is it a potluck? I don't know. I grew up in Lutheran circles here in the United States, and potlucks are just the universal language of community. But what does that look like over there? And if it is potlucks, what is the main dish? Is it grandma's coleslaw and corn and hot dogs and chili, or is it something else? Maybe it's the Belgian waffle. And then in conclusion, Belgium is a beautiful place filled with many wonders and definitely worth adding to your list. I hope that you are interested in exploring, and if you want to find other Christians who might also share your passion, head to our website, christiantravelers.net. There you'll find an amazing community of people from around the world who gather together, both virtually and in person, and maybe you'll go with one of them to Belgium on your next trip. I'd be a fool not to also mention that there are some upcoming trips that members on our site have already planned, such as winter jam and hiking, beach and Bible study, an Immortal Rock Fest, and Christian Women's Retreat. Go to our website to learn more. I'd like to conclude with a prayer, and then thank you again for tuning in today. So would you join me in a moment of prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for Belgium, for the amazing people that you are there, that you have there. Lord, their history, especially in relationship to you, is one that's gone through some serious trauma, and maybe has left people questioning if there is even proof that you are out there. But Lord, we just ask that you bring them to faith, and for those that are traveling there, that they may get to see your wonder and your majesty and your fingerprints in all of their travels. In your name we pray, amen. Well, Christian travelers, thank you so much for tuning in today, and until next time, safe travels and God bless.